Preston and Steve Fun Size.
We have a guest who is on the line. Called us and said, I got to come on the program.
Yes. literally begging.
Reached out.
That might not be exactly right.
And I was like, we don't have time today. Maybe tomorrow.
Technically, he reached out.
Yes.
And we'll stick with that.
Well, a part of him reached out.
Should I welcome him first and then we'll hear the story?
Yeah.
All right. He is the defensive end of your Philadelphia Eagles. 10th year on the team. Ladies and gentlemen, give some love to Mr. Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. Okay, so we got to talk about how this interview came about. Casey, you want to handle it?
Well, I got I had a missed phone call early yesterday from this gentleman, from Brandon Graham. I'm like, oh, man, I wonder why he's calling me. So, I mean, we were in the middle of a segment.
He must
like,
have been excited, right?
Yeah.
Brandon Graham.
Well, because he and I have gone back and forth. In fact, after you signed back, you know, with the Eagles, which we didn't think was going to happen. I thought you were going to finish your career somewhere else. And when you decided to sign and stay in Philadelphia, I was thrilled. I love having you a part of this team, and I love having you be a part of this city. So I reached out to you back then about having you on, and you know things happened, and you didn't come on, and then so I got this call, and I was like, oh my God, Brandon Graham's calling.
He wants to come on now.
So I
he's seen the error of his ways.
So I leave the studio in the middle of a break. I call him back, and in the middle of the phone ringing, I get a text message from him saying, sorry, man, that was my bad. And so he clearly didn't want to answer the phone and sent me a text message. And then I said, well, we'd love to have you on. And here we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, so. That was real cool, though, like how it happened. That's what I see. But that's why I knew when we started talking, I was like, dang, I forgot to hit him back to get on around that time, like you said, when you text me. So I was like, yeah, whenever, man, let's go ahead, let's get it.
And nice.
Today it ended up being today.
Was it a classic butt dial, or did you hit the wrong number, like in your contacts?
Just hit the wrong number in my contacts.
Okay.
But it was perfect, though. It's perfect.
I've done that. I don't know how many times I go, no.
Stop. That rings, like, immediately. Even if you catch it, like, they get a missed call.
And Brandon, I'm sure that in many cases, a lot of times it's the person, like in this case, the person you least want to talk to.
No, I'll take it. You're probably right. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I called that guy.
Oh, no. Don't go through.
Hey,
you know what? At least you're not begging for some money.
Hey, Brandon, I wanted to ask you about a post you have on Instagram. I think it might be your most recent one. On your sneakers, on your shoes, you have a picture of your wife. You had it, I guess, airbrushed on there. Are these your game shoes?
Yeah, this year, I wanted to get some points with the wife.
Dude, you're smooth.
So, the cleats, it was real cool. Something that, I wanted to do dedicated to my family, people that I love, And so I did baby girl and baby boy the first game.
Aww.
I just didn't post them on my social media, but I'll send you the picture. And then I ended up doing my wife, the one that you just seen. And, this time I'm doing the whole family picture.
Wow. That's it.
Your kids are adorable. Your daughter, I've seen a video of her with your young son, and she just loves him to death, it seems like.
Yeah, and it's cool because he's a big help to the wife, and that helps me out while I'm away until I get home. So
yeah,
good times right now, just trying to enjoy every moment.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
So has the NFL sort of softened its stance on your footwear and things that you get to wear during the games, the cleats, are those for pregame warm up? Are you actually allowed to wear those during the game?
No, you're allowed to wear them now during the game. Most of the time they got to be white cleats so that you can, put your design on them. They would prefer white cleats and, just be respectful of what you put on there. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so we're in October now. Does that mean you guys are going to start wearing pink for the rest of the month?
I think they only do it now for one game. It used to be, I know how it used to be every game in October.
Okay.
But I got mine prepared for, to dedicate it, so I'm excited for that too.
It's funny how with the uniforms and obviously that, we get the impression that you sort of get the once over before you take the field. Do you get a little quick review of your uniform as you're going out? Or, do people try to sneak things out occasionally?
as far as what, like,
because I forget which player, I forget who it was, but he's determined to wear this watch on the field.
Who is it? Is it Beckham? Is that Odell?
Is
Beckham
it? Is it?
I think it's OBJ.
He's got this watch that to me looks like it could slice someone's head off.
But Steve, I think it's $500,000 watch.
Is it?
Yeah, I think the retail on it is $500,000.
Yeah, have you heard about this, Brandon? This.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yep, I've seen it. And he said he was going to stay keep wearing it, right? Or he wore another one too.
And if you have a $500,000 watch, I think you want to wear it on a football field.
Yeah.
We're going to be hit by, you know, a dozen guys.
Yeah.
I know. So whoever he getting the watch from, I'm sure, they're endorsing them. They're going to pay the money.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you don't – I think professional football uniforms are so cool looking. You don't need to add things like a watch to it to make them look any cooler. And I it's sort of like a double-edged sword here, right? Because the Eagles are my team, and you don't want to sort of admit out loud that you like other teams' uniforms. And now I'm going to say this because you're from Michigan, you're from Detroit, but, like, dude, the Lions' uniforms are awesome. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to like the old-school blue and gray that they used to wear, too. That uniform when they bring out the throwbacks, that like, dark blue. Well, it's like a little... You know, in the middle where it's like dark blue and the gray pants. I like the all brown too on the Browns too.
Yeah.
Honestly, that watch deal is sweet with OBJ when he wore it, but I do get it. Like, why do you want to, you know, risk breaking?
That's crazy. I like the visors. The visors are awesome. The anything that makes you look like RoboCop,
dude,
is a win.
I love the visors. And, like, so Oakley.
They're freaking. It makes you look like kill robots.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. I don't know. Do you have a visor in your helmet?
This year, you know what? Fletch talked me into getting one, so I ended up getting a clear one this year. And, you know, it's cool. It's not bad. It's not as bad as I thought. I didn't think you could breathe with the visors, but, you know, I feel like I've been, you know, able to do the same thing.
Hey, I want to ask you about – all right, so, by the way, thank you for the strip sack on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I never got to formally thank you for that, but I wanted to thank you for that. And then also, you know, Barnett had a strip sack on Thursday night against Aaron Rodgers, and you're the one who picked up the fumble. When something like that happens, how are you made aware that the ball is on the ground?
Well, you know, I luckily I seen Derek coming, you know, and then once the ball came out, I just headed straight to, you know, where it was, and Bakhtiari ended up, you know, thinking the same thing as me, and, you know, we ended up fighting for it. But, you know, I think, you know, if I didn't see it, you know, I still would have tried to figure out where the ball was because, you know, whenever somebody got the ball, you always got their eyes on them wherever it go.
Well, Brandon, so, are you assisted by the computer readout on the inside of your visor? the little target?
Like Iron Man?
Like Iron Man?
See, I wasn't sure how much you can actually hear while you're in that scrum because, you know, obviously you have, you know, 70, 80,000 people in the stadium, and then you're you know, banging heads with people and all that sort of stuff. So, like, what can you actually hear when you're in the middle of a play?
You can't really hear too much. You just know you hear, I mean, the grunt. You got a lot of grunting and fighting going on, especially up front. And, you know, only thing you hear is the quarterback when he's making the play. I mean, making the calls. But once the play going, you know, you don't hear nothing other than just
God bless you, man.
Ball, get ball.
I don't know how anyone does that.
Yeah. So you don't hear any coaches from the sideline yelling pass or anything like that?
Okay. Especially when it's loud.
Yeah,
it's real loud.
You know,
but if, you know, home games, it's real loud because they, you know, they got to be loud because I'm on the field with the offense. But away games, you know, you can hear that better. I will say that because it's not as loud when an offense on the field for us.
Right. Brandon, I think the Eagles have 5 or 6 night games this year. And you know, we got to be at work at 5 in the morning. So the night games for us are just next to impossible. Do you like playing at night? Is it something where you'd rather play the 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock game, or does it matter to you?
You know what? I appreciate the night games because those are national games. But, you know, if I got to start, I get up right now, you know, 1 o'clock and get right to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I assume that for the waiting can be a pain in the ass. Like, if you can just get up, go and get to it, it's more linear. I think when you have to kill time, that's got to be an energy suck.
Yeah, and you know you gotta try to stay calm most of the day because you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to, you want to save all your energy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, waking right up, you know, and get right to it is cool because that's what you used to anyway. Because you know today, like today, we got 1 o'clock practice, and so you know it's just what, around the time that you used to.
Right. So you guys played on Thursday night, and I know that there's been a lot of debate on Thursday night games in the NFL, and they're talking about doing away with it. And I'm sure you, as a player. You know, the quick turnaround is a colossal pain in the ass and actually kind of dangerous. But I like the idea of a Thursday night game. And hear me out here. But I think you don't have to have one every single week in the NFL. And so if you get a vote here, here's what I would propose. You have a Thursday night game for the first week of the NFL, right? That way it's not a short week for anybody. And then you only have Thursday night games after bye weeks. And the only teams that can play on a Thursday night are teams that are coming off of a bye week. So then you would have a Thursday night game week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe 12. And then that's it. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Dang, that's sweet. I ain't never, you know, heard nobody really, you know, suggest something for Thursday night. But, you know, that seemed like that's a nicer way, you know, especially coming off a bye and then the first game of the season, you know, a Thursday night game. And then, you know, you could even do two on a Thursday night game like they do on a Monday night. You know how they do the Monday night two games.
Yeah. Would you still have the same amount of games?
No, you would still have the same amount of games. But the only thing is, you know, the people that are playing on a Thursday night, they're not, you know, playing on Sunday and then, you know, a 4-day turnaround and playing on Sunday. And then not only that, so sure, they have a shorter bye week, but then they get a long week after that as well. So it's almost like 2 week-and-a-half bye weeks almost.
Yeah, right.
All right.
It's cool because, you know, that's the only thing that's good about the Thursday nights. You get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
Right.
You usually come back Monday and then off Tuesday. So
it seems like – go ahead.
You get a good little break. Afterwards, it's just a grind.
Anytime they add something that generates revenue, it's like taxes. They never repeal a tax.
Well, they won't. Yeah,
so it's a revenue thing, mm-hmm. But the trick is obviously you want if you're running players down so much that the injury level skips up, that's counterproductive.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, I had to ask, when you guys played the Redskins, you were mic'd up in the middle of the game. You said you wanted a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Did you ever get one?
You know, I haven't got one yet.
They
done ran out for me. I got to wait till they come back.
Yeah. then there's no hope for us. No. If an NFL player doesn't get a Popeye's chicken sandwich,
I got one for real in real life, but the Popeye's chicken sandwich I'm talking about is the facts. That's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
All right, so there's something you can't teach players in the NFL, and that's how to have a level head and the right personality. And so not everybody can be a Brandon Graham. And the way you have engaged the media and the fans of the city of Philadelphia is It's awesome. Like I see your interaction. And I think I texted this to you yesterday. Your interaction with Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm jealous of it because it looks like you guys have a great relationship. I kind of want to be best friends with you. But that's just who you are as a person. I mean, has anybody from the league ever, you know, asked you about, you know, because they have these symposiums for rookies that are coming in to the league on you know how to deal with the media in your
early years.
Really nobody ever taught me. I just knew that they had a job to do, and once I got my personal feelings out of it, because at first, you know, I used to be mad at the media, especially being here, you know, getting hurt and then, you know, not even really, you know, like playing like I know I could play. And so you know, at first it was me on my personal, like I had to get over the personal part of, they just talk about, you know, me, they try to be friends with me. But, you know, once I learned that they got a job and, you know, whatever I want them to know, I can tell them, you know, I started to refocus and, you know, started to think differently on how I viewed them. You know, so that's what made me start to be cool and just talk to them and have fun. And, you know, it makes it easier, you know, for me and them. So, if it's a good work relationship, you know, that's all I really want. Me and D Gunn just turned into something else because, you know, that's just like, that's what happened. It just happened in an organic way. And I got other relationships with other people too, but you know, that just seemed to happen naturally. Well, with the media,
with your ability to interact, as Casey's pointing out, and you're an affable person, and that comes across. Have you do you have any designs on post career broadcasting yourself?
That's what you know I'm doing now. I'm doing radio.
Yeah,
know, I'm trying to see if radio is something. I did on camera, you know, a couple years. Every year I try to do something, and knowing that I'm gonna stay in Philly after football, you know, I know that I do want to try that out, especially. You know, right after, or should I wait a year,
yeah.
enjoy family time, and then start? You know?
All right.
Yeah. You know, we had an Eagle who was an intern here one time.
We did. We had a former Eagle was an intern of ours. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I say. Like, I want to do it. I want to be treated like the rookie and work my way up.
Oh, we could do that.
Oh, you got it, man.
You know, because I really want to, you know, give it the respect because y'all got a real job, you know what I'm saying? And you know, everybody think it's easy until, you know, you actually, that's your job.
So you know what, Brandon, the real secret is it's pretty easy. No. Everything requires work. And it shows that again, that's a good work ethic, which we know you have a solid work ethic. You show respect for other people's occupations and what they you know, the stuff they need to go through and accrue and to get good at what they do. So, yeah. But ultimately, I think that the same thing that makes you an exemplary athlete would carry well into broadcasting. So, set. You can be an intern anytime you want. So.
you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I see a lot of guys that get on and then next, you know, you don't see them no more. You know, I want to really make sure that I practice. That's what I mean. If I'm going to do it.
It's funny because you talk about probably the greatest running back in NFL history. And I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers, but Emmitt Smith. He was not a good broadcaster, and you know, and they tried him out on the sideline, and I, you know, my heart goes out to him because if you listen to the show, you know that I'm terrible. So it's like, you know, how can you judge? But he was really, really bad, and they almost retired him mid game. You know, he was that.
Goodbye.
You know, it's so different calling games too, and then being on the sideline doing a little. It seemed easy, you know, because you see other people make it look natural and easy.
Yeah.
But when you get out there, I'm telling you, I know when the camera come on, you don't know how your heart will start beating fast, you know, your mouth get dry, you need some water.
All right, so Brandon, just between you and us, what former player is the worst broadcaster? Because I have an opinion.
Oh, man, that's a you know what? Ask me after.
here's an easier one. Who's Well, okay, now, I don't want to get you in trouble, so we'll let that be.
But personally, I thought Jason Witten was terrible, and you know, it is. It's a really difficult thing to do, so I don't mean to cast aspersions, but the guy was just
so
awful.
Funny, that was the first person I thought about.
That's all right. He's back in the league anyway. Yeah.
He came right back to football like, this ain't working out like I thought.
Hey, Brandon, we've had professional athletes on our show many, many times, and I always ask them to do something specifically for me in a game. So I know it's for me and anybody else listening. They're like, oh, Brandon's thinking of Casey right now.
You want him to hit a home run?
I want you to hit a home run, preferably with the bases loaded. No, what I would like to see, Brandon, is on your next sack, I want you to do the Pee Wee Herman dance.
The Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah. You know, when he does it.
You might have to research that.
He's guaranteed.
Right on.
Just the way he dialed you with intent.
Well, here's the thing. If he does that on national television, he's going to be all over the media for doing the Pee Wee Herman dance. I'm telling you.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Listen, Brandon, I'm an idea guy, right?
Yeah.
So just listen to my idea.
Look at how he solved the Thursday night game crisis.
You see that?
There we go.
Hey, Brandon, before we wrap up, I do want to ask about the upcoming game. You guys got the Jets. They're 0-3. When you're going in and facing a team that doesn't have any wins, I would imagine you can't just dismiss that because, you know, they might be hungry enough to where they really switch it into another gear. Is that something that you consider when you're going into a team like that?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Especially with the roster that they got. You know, I know injuries play a lot, you know, with them too. And then, you know, I know that they got some good coaches and stuff over there. So, I mean, I don't look at nobody as, you know, quitters. And so I'm going to give them the proper respect. I feel like, you know, the Jets going to come here and try to prove something, especially with Joe. being, you know, with us and now over there, I'm sure he's going to have a couple of things to say just to, you know, let him, get him fired up. So, you know, I'm prepared, you know, for a battle.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Excellent. Well, listen, have a good practice today, man. It's good to, good to catch up with you. Thanks for reaching out to us.
Yeah.
Come on the show. That was really special, man. We appreciate it.
Don't wait so long next time.
Yeah, yeah, don't wait so long.
Honestly, if you ever call and we don't pick up, just leave a message and we'll get back to you.
Hey, Casey, I appreciate y'all because let me tell you, this is the most fun I've had in the morning on a radio show.
All right, well, we'll give you a call next week then.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Brandon. Take care, man. Brandon Graham, yeah, guys. That is a good man right there. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.